This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The president used trillion with a T as in trillion to talk about dollars to fix bridges, roads, and airports. But where would that kind of money come from? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. President Trump devoted part of the State of the Union speech last night to what could become a key domestic policy initiative this year. It's that important but clumsy word, infrastructure. And the president did up the ante. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us now live from Washington. Nancy, the president called for more money to fix crumbling, rusting, and leaking public works. How much?
Well, I will let President Trump explain. Here's how he put it last night.
Tonight, I'm calling on Congress to produce a bill that generates at least $1.5 trillion for the new infrastructure investment that our country so desperately needs.
Now, David, before this, the president always talked about a trillion-dollar infrastructure plan. Now it's a trillion and a half.
And a half. And the source of said funds?
Well, that's a question the Trump administration isn't answering. The administration has said there will be $200 billion in federal money. Now, last week at the U.S. Conference of Mayors meeting, the president's infrastructure advisor said the administration would be neutral on an increase in the federal gas tax to pay for infrastructure. The Chamber of Commerce is suggesting a hike of 25 cents a gallon. Also, some of the $200 billion would come from spending cuts to things like public transit and Amtrak. The idea is the $200 billion would be seed money to start a public-private partnership to build infrastructure. Here's how President Trump explained it last night.
Every federal dollar should be leveraged by partnering with state and local governments, and where appropriate, tapping into private sector investment to permanently fix the infrastructure deficit. And we can do it.
Now, state and local governments aren't too clear, David, where they would get the money. Some projects like highways or bridges that charge tolls could attract private investors. Others, like schools and public buildings, would be a harder sell for investors.
And what about a timeline for this big infrastructure plan, Nancy?
Well, the president's infrastructure advisor said last week the official infrastructure plan would be released a week or two after the State of the Union. And once projects get proposed and approved, President Trump said he doesn't want things like government permitting to cause any delays.
Any bill must also streamline the permitting and approval process, getting it down to no more than 2 years and perhaps even one.
Now, previous presidents have also tried to streamline the permitting process, including President Obama.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you for that. On the issue of cracking down on trade, the president's rhetoric last night is being read this morning as restrained. While Trump used his frequent line that his administration had, quote, turned the page of decades of unfair trade deals, the Financial Times is among the papers noting today that the U.S. trade deficit with China is up 10% since Trump took office. Let's do some numbers from the markets. The dollar's down again this morning with a euro at 125.5, meaning the euro is up another 0.4% at the moment. The German DAX index is up 0.3%. FTSE in London down slightly. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up. In the case of the NASDAQ, 0.2%. In the case of the others, 0.3%. Now, some researchers see a lot of promise in already approved anti-diabetes drugs that could reduce memory loss and improve cognitive ability for people suffering from Alzheimer's and other dementia. The anticipation has only grown after an experiment in Britain using mice. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
About 5.5 million Americans have Alzheimer's. Thanks in part to an aging population, that could nearly triple by 2050. And the Alzheimer's drug pipeline, pretty dry the past decade.
We've had a long list of failed clinical trials over the last years, and it's been really depressing that really nothing seems to work.
That's Lancaster University neuroscientist Christian Holscher. There are several drugs diabetics use to lower their blood sugar that Holscher says hold a lot of promise.
Now, finally, we have something that really shows an improvement in the first trials, in patients. So this is really genuinely exciting.
It may be exciting, but it's still theoretical. Just one diabetes drug, pioglitazone, has made it to a late-stage trial to treat Alzheimer's. The Japanese drug maker Takeda has enrolled 3,500 people across 8 countries. James Hendricks is a scientist with the Alzheimer's Association.
The main question is, does this drug work in this other disease? You have to allow time for the people who are on placebo to progress and be able to compare that to people who are on drug.
That the drug has FDA approval carries some important benefits. For one, Matthew Weinberg, a pharmaceutical consultant, says the FDA has a process to get repurposed drugs to market faster, potentially saving many months. Two, it would also be an excellent candidate for the agency's priority review, he says. That's for drugs that treat unmet medical needs, shaving off even more time.
Let's be honest, if we save 2 years, 2 years is a massive amount of time.
The Alzheimer's Association hopes to see trial results in 2019. Given the human and economic toll the disease takes, there's a sense of urgency here. The Alzheimer's Association estimates nearly 1 of every 5 Medicare dollars is spent on someone with the disease. If pioglitazone works, the association's James Hendricks says there's another advantage to it being a known quantity. It's price tag.
So a lot of the things that happen when you first launch a drug from a company perspective have already been worked out. So there would be some cost savings. I would anticipate some time savings as well.
If approved, Hendricks says compared to other Alzheimer's drugs in the pipeline, this one would be one of the more affordable ones. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
We're also watching the guardians of interest rates, who will wrap up a meeting today on the economy, inflation, and the cost of borrowing. It's Janet Yellen's very last meeting as chair. The new guy takes the formal reins over the weekend. Know at least one thing about Jerome Powell. He's thinking the U.S. economy is strong enough for higher interest rates ahead. In New York, I am David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.